Okay, last night was the big winner. Rabbi Einemar matter of his son last night. Rabbi Einemar. Anyone go? You went?
No, but several people from here.
Yeah, yeah, sure. He's a Maggid Shir here. Rabbi Einemar. Rabbi Einemar. Yeah. I know Rabbi Einemar. Okay, so there are still a few more weddings. I want to like to speak about something that connects in Yerin de Yoyma, Chodesh Tammuz, the month of the fast day of Shavuos v'Tammuz, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached, and minhagim that we do at a wedding, and maybe other minhagim we do, so much time we have, that are zecher l'churbin. Okay, we discussed this once upon a time, but let's go over and discuss some of the issues again. There's a rule, there's a halacha, that today a chassan and kala are not allowed to wear, well, I shouldn't say a kala, we'll talk about that in the issue in a moment, but at least a chassan should not wear a crown. Now, we don't even know what a crown is. We don't even know what this is, but it seems that in ancient times, there used to be a special ornament, that was worn by a chassan at his wedding. He didn't wear a black hat. He didn't wear a strimal. He wore a special crown called the Atara Shel Chatan, Shel Chassan, a special crown. The Kala as well wore a special crown. Some want to suggest that the crown that she wore was what we learn in the Gemara by Rabbi Akiva, it's really Yushalmi, the ear Shel Zahav. Okay, we know that the Gemara tells that Rabbi Akiva, he made for his wife, Rachel, this beautiful ornament called an ear shell zahav. He once gave a whole shiur on this. Yeah. What exactly is the ear shell zahav? What's the connection to Rabbi Akiva and his wife? And the Gemara tells us to Yushalmi that Rabbi Meir's wife was jealous. She was jealous from Rabbi Akiva's wife. Rabbi Akiva's wife, she came to shul in the ear shell zahav. She was the talk of town. So Rabbi Meir's wife said to Rabbi Meir, why don't you make for me an ear shell zahav? And he said to her, you don't deserve it. That's what it says in the Gemara. When you'll be like Rabbi Akiva's wife, then we'll think about it. You just don't deserve it. What did she do? The Gemara basically says she was moiser nefesh, that her husband should learn Torah in the most unusual way. First of all, she was the daughter of the wealthiest person in the world, and she gave it all up when the father found out that she secretly eloped to Rabbi Akiva. He took her out of the will, he threw her out of the house, and they lived in a barn, and they slept on straw. And that's all they had. And you know, he worked for her father-in-law, Rabbi Kiva, he was basically just a servant. He was a servant in the home of Kalba Savua, and Kalba Savua's daughter liked him. She was a love shidduch. She liked him. She saw him every day working in the house, and she saw that he was an ignoramus. He knew from nothing. It appears, when I've read, yes, I did some research on this, that he was observant. Those who say that he was not religious is not correct. There is no makar for that. The only thing it says is that he had a hatred for Talmidei Chachamim. And if you study the sources, it was very common for religious observant Jews, still common today, unfortunately, for religious observant Jews to have it in for the Talmidei Chachamim. Just because you know Kol HaTorah Kula, what makes you special? I'm a religious Jew. I daven three times a day. I observe Shabbos. I do the mitzvahs. I put on tefillin and tzitzis. I eat kosher. So I don't learn. So I learn a little bit. I learn a few words. I say Pirkei Avos. So I'm just a so. Just because you know Shas and Poiskim. Whose fault was it? Well, it's not so simple. It's not simple. So Rabbi Akiva was in that category, but it does not mean, many people make this mistake and they think that Rabbi Akiva was irreligious. That's not correct. There's no source to say that Rabbi Akiva was irreligious from the day. It just means he was an Am Haaretz. What, unlearned, but he was religious. It's not people that go too far by saying that he was like they zero, totally new from nothing. Make him a hippie. He was a hippie until he was 40 years old, and then became the Hilker of Yekiva that died al Kiddush Hashem from the Asar Rigi Malchus. Not true. There's no source. No one knows anything. We have no idea. Okay, no one came back. No one was any records exactly what was going on then. But there's no source to say that. And you have to assume the assumption is that he was no different than the common Am Haaretz in his day, which was an observant Jew, and was not necessarily a Talmud Chacham. And then when he was 40 years old, he decided, at the encouragement of his wife, Rachel, she saw that he had a very good midos, and she was attracted to him. But he was unlearned. And it would be a disgrace for her father's family for her to marry such a boy. So she secretly had some conversations with him. And she told him that she wants to marry him. And on the condition that he should sit and learn. He should become a Talmud Chacham. Could be. That's also a legend. I don't think it says it anywhere. Maybe you already Yisrael, he probably already knew the Aleph Beis. That's a legend. What it doesn't say that anyway, he told him the Aleph Beis. Does it someone told him the Aleph Beis? I never saw that in writing. These are legends, the children's stories. They make up a lot of things today. I don't think it's true. He knew the Aleph Beis. He knew. He was like a regular.
There's a book about the source called The Orchard. My son read it, my wife read it. I haven't gotten around to it.
Bring it in. Bring it in. Let's see where he got it from. Maybe it's true. Maybe there are midrashim. There's a lot of Rabbi Yekiva. I don't know. Could be it's true. Any event, okay, we're getting started. Any event, later they got married, and then they got married, and she sent him to learn. They used to sleep on straw. One day, a fellow knocked on the door and said to them, "They said, do you? My wife is giving birth. Maybe you have some straw I can have, so my wife can be comfortable when she gives birth." And Rabbi Akiva said to his wife, "You see, there are people that have even less than us. We at least have straw. This fellow that's coming that needs for his wife straw doesn't even have straw to sleep on. We shouldn't feel bad that we're poor. There are people that have even less than us." Chazal say, who is that person that knocked on his door? Eliyahu Hanavi. In order to trigger Rabbi Akiva to make that statement. That statement, I don't know how to connect the dots, but Chazal say, after Rabbi Akiva said that to his wife, that, look, people have less than us, she said, wow, you know, that's a very nice thing to say. You reminded me of why I married you, because you have good midos. But when I married you, I made a t'nai with you that you have to become a Talmud Chacham. So I think now is the time you should go and join a koilo. Join a koilo. And he agreed. That was the trigger. They made this t'nai, but he didn't keep it. He made it tonight, we'll get married, and we'll become a Talmud Chacham. But they didn't do anything about it. In the meantime, I guess there was so much turbulence, because when her father found out that he was an Am Haaretz, that who she married, secretly, he threw him out of the house. He threw them both out of the house. And took her out of the will. And they were living in the barn. And then this story happened. And she said to him, now you should go sit and learn. He went for 12 years. He came back from 12. He went for 24 years. So she was deserving of this thing called the Ir Shel Zahav. It appears that a kala on the day that she got married wore an ear shell zahav. Why? I guess to remind her for one day to remind her to be like the wife of Rabbi Akiva and to encourage her husband to learn Torah. So a woman wore on her wedding day in ear shell zahav as a very nice reminder of what marriage is all about. However, Chazal say that came to an end. It's not so similar that ever came to an end. There's a debate in the Poskim when after the Churban Beis HaMikdash do we apply the rule that a woman also should not wear an ear shell zahav on her wedding day. L'chayra she should wear on her wedding day because it's a very nice reminder of what should be done, what life is all about. But one thing everyone agrees with, beyond any question, is that the husband, he does not wear the traditional crown that a chassan would wear on his wedding day. And it's based upon a pasuk. What's the pasuk? This is a very important pasuk in Eicha, and I want to show you how it's relevant in our times. The pasuk in Eicha is give me one moment, it's got to be here somewhere. Okay, it's the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol is no longer. And when the mitznefes is no longer... Give me one moment, please. How come I can't find it? Let's see, that's over here. Here it is, right in the beginning. Koyamar Hashem Elokim. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel Peruch Chafal, a pasuk Lamanav. Koyamar Hashem Elokim. Hasir ha-mitznefes v'horim ho-atara. Remove the mitznefes and remove the crown. What is the mitznefes? The mitznefes is the word the Torah uses to describe the head covering of the Kohen Gadol. Chazal Darshan. Shebizman. Shehusara ha-mitznefes me'al roish Kohen Gadol. Tzorich. Tzoricha ho-atara. Lihiyois museres meroish chasanim. Only discuss the chasan. We makish one to the other. The word atara is the crown, and the crown here refers to the crown of the chasanim, and the mitznefes is the crown, is the head covering of the Kohen Gadol. When there is no Kohen Gadol in office, meaning there is no Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is Chorav, and the mitznefes has been removed, then the law is Zecher Lechorben, the crown on top of the chasanim must be removed. Now this drush that I told you is not at all similar. This is what I just told you over here is the Gemara Masechta Saita. I only told you the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Saita Psalm Mokhtes, not to wear katoras chasanim klal, even gold and silver from anything, but not from gold and silver, they call this pasuk. And then the Gemara goes on to have a conversation about this drasha and tells us that not everyone agrees that this is the correct interpretation. Some of them want to say, some opinions in the Gemara suggest that it refers to the crown of the Melech. That there is no Malchus in Klal Yisrael if there is no Beis HaMikdash. So let's say for today, what is stopping the state of Israel from appointing a king? Why not? Let's have a king today. Let's make a king. You'll say, Yavdi Malchus David? The Chashmonoim were not from David. The Chashmonoim, they were not from the family of David. If you can't find a Miyuchis from the Malchus of David, so let's have a king. Why can't we be like England? The Queen of England. Why can't we have a king in Eretz Yisrael today? It's some mystique. What?
People wouldn't accept
it. They don't have a choice. If the government makes a law, when the government makes a malchus, they declare there's a prime minister, there's a president, and there's a king. Right? There's a king, there's a president of Israel. There's a president. I don't understand exactly what his role is, but there's a president. What?
The president doesn't have any power.
So the Queen of England doesn't have any power either. So let's give him some power. So let's give him. Let us create... In a Jewish state, okay, all right, I'm just theoretically talking, okay, we're storing our words. What I'm saying doesn't necessarily make sense. Nothing I say makes sense. But this certainly doesn't make sense. I'm just throwing out words. Why can there be, theoretically speaking, an office of Malchus in Klal Yisrael today, even though we have not yet rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, this is the Emes of Shah in the Pasuk. Hasir ha-mitznefes v'horim ho-atara. If there is no Beis HaMikdash, and there is no Kohen Gadol that goes lefnai v'lefnim, ayim ha-kippurim, then there is no Malchus. Don't even think about it. Don't even dare. Don't make a Malchus without a Kohuna Gedolah. That's one Shah in the Gemara. The Gemara Lamaskana says, the other Pshah is also acceptable to some degree, that if there is no Beis HaMikdash, a chosan, a crown of the chosan has to be taken off. It's a drasha, it's a remez, nasmachta, and we learn about the theme of Zecher l'chorban. The Gemara only explicitly says the Reish Chassanim does not mention the Reish of the Kala, because the Kala, as I mentioned to you, Adarab, will be a very good thing for the Kala to wear the ear shell Zahav, to remind her and all of us of the story of Rabbi Akiva of Rachel and how she was Moiser Nefesh for her husband. So even though today no one's going to wear this full time, you're not going to come into Shul on Shabbos wearing your ear shell Zahav, but once in your lifetime, buy a chasana, why not? That's not a violation, that's not a big deal to do it once. Okay, but yet, so this is the topic of discussion, the Paiskin, if a kala today should wear an ear shell Zahav, or today a kala, I'm not familiar with all the great detail, but some kalas, they wear a crown. It's called a crown, and it's...
Tiara.
Of different types of tiaras, some are made, some are very expensive. Some you can probably go to Tiffany's and buy, who knows what it can cost, gold, diamonds, and who knows. And some you can buy made out of flowers. All different types. So the question is it appropriate? So I'm certainly there are many cows that do wear, they do wear an ornament on their head, and there will be kalois that will be told by their rabbanim that you don't do this. It's part of its nichlal. There are different minhagim. There are different minhagim if it's proper for a kala to wear what you call a tiara, and if they do wear, you can wear it, just should not be made from metal, from gold and silver. It can be made, they have other materials that they make them from. They're very beautiful, just as beautiful. Flowers, other things made out of diamonds, you're saying. I think the Ikar Hakpad is only on gold or silver. But if it's made from other materials, even with diamonds, it's okay. Some may be object to that as well. I don't really know. This is not it's a minig, and it's rooted in zecher lechorban. But a chasan certainly does not wear. You want to say something?
Yeah, okay. What does it say in lechadodi? Ba'oliv yishalom ateres bala. What does that mean?
Well, that's referring to Hashem.
Yeah,
Hashem is the chasan. Shabbos is the kala.
Oh, I think ba'oliv yishalom isn't that going on Shabbos malka?
Ateres, Shabbos is called
you
the queen.
You're the crown.
Correct. You are correct. Right.
But Shabbos is the crown of Hashem.
Right. Sure, correct. Shabbos is called the queen. I mean, there in different contexts, the Shechina is referred to in different ways. In Kabbalah, Shabbos we refer to Shabbos as the queen, and the queen is the crown of the Baal. Who is the Baal? You want to say
it's Baal?
And could be that it's Klal Yisrael. It depends on the context. It depends where. I don't know the answer. But there you see the word Atar is used, that the Kala Shabbos is bedecked in a crown. It's appropriate, because Shabbos is Shabbos. Now, I just want to point out something very interesting, is that on Tisha B'Av, we have a very beautiful kina, another beautiful, but it's a very powerful kina, called Chavatzeles HaSharoim. Okay, the chavatzelis means the rose. It's a flower. Not so clear what exactly it is. It's taken from Shir HaShirim, the chavatzelis. A chavatzelis is some type of beautiful flower. And Sharon is a location in Eretz Yisrael, the chavatzelis HaSharon. And it's a mashal, a metaphor for the Kohanim. And in this kina, the kina goes on to describe, to break down the Kohanim into their 24 Mishmaras. And the 24 Mishmar, each Mishmar lived in its own separate city, which means they had their own culture. We spoke about this many times, their own culture, their own way of doing things. And every week they would alternate, they would come to the Beis HaMikdash, a new Mishmar, it was a rotation, and they would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Every Kohen was one of the 24 Mishmaras. And in turn, each mishmar was divided into six parts, called the Bote Av. And each Bote Av would serve one day of the week of that mishmar. On Shabbos, they would serve together. And each mishmar, again, lived in its own city. And this kina tells us that all of the 24 mishmaros were destroyed. Bukharaf. The kina tells us the name of the 24 mishmaros. And also, many of them tell us the particular sin that they committed, why they deserve to be destroyed. It's a very frightening kina. but it describes the Kohanim. Now, when you read about the Kinois, then and you read commentary on the Kinois, it's very popular. They'll cite from Rav Soloveitchik, cite it all over all different sources. Is that the ones that suffered the most with the Churban Beis Hamikdash were the Kohanim? Why? Because that's all they had in life. The Kohanim did not own real estate. It was an agricultural society. And if you did not own real estate, you did not have a steachuza, you did not have territory from the Yerusha Saret, so what did you do? You're not going to plant, you're not going to plow, you're not going to fertilize your field, you're not going to go to the market. You're going to go and you're going to sit and learn. You go and you serve in the Beis HaMikdash. You're supported by the Tzibar. You get Truma. You get Matnas Kahuna. That was the way it was. When the Churban happened, if you were a farmer or you were in business, so you pick up your factory and you move on. You go to America. You go to Germany. You go to Poland. And you open up a factory there. That's what you do. So I know how to plant. So I'll go buy land in America, and I'll grow cotton. I'll grow flax. I'll find what I have skills. But if you're a kohen and your whole life revolves around the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, you're out of a job. You're out of your job. No one's supporting you. No one. You have nothing to do. This is what you'll hear often. As when if someone will speak when they recite the kina of Chavatzelis Hasharon, the first thing you're going to hear is this kina reflects upon the 24 mishmeres of Kohanim, and we have to appreciate that they suffered much, much more than the average Jew, because the average Jew can take his cow and donkey and factory to another land and set up shop. A kohen's only thing he had in life was the Beis HaMikdash. And when he lost the Beis HaMikdash, he has nothing to do with his life. And therefore, it was that much more painful. This pasuk is teaching us, he's making a big mistake. That's a very beautiful idea. And it's 100% true. But that's only half of it. Because the pasuk says, Hasir HaMitznefes, Hasir HaMitznefes V'harim Ho'atara. We always like to look the other way. Today, who are the Kohanim today? The Melandim. The Atem Tihinu Li Mamleches Kohanim. Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch explains the word Kohen means literally from this pasuk, means a teacher. We are the Or Lo'anim. The whole nation is a Mamleches of teachers. We're here to teach the world about Ribbono Shel Olam. Today, who are the Kohanim of the Beis HaMikdash? Melandim. People who teach children in kindergarten, the Moirais. People who teach Tidaiko Shel Beis Rav in the elementary schools. People who teach the Sifta boys, boys a little bit older, Rabbonim, who are Oisik and Tzachi Tzibur. People who are not appreciated, more or less. People who are the first responders. The real first responders, teaching children, young adults, people that are oisek in tzorchei tzibur, working to be melamed klal Yisrael. So many of us, we look at a melamed and we say nu nebuch. they don't get a good parnasa. Their parnasa is not, it's not a glamorous job. It's not very glamorous in the eyes of the world. It's not glamorous, and the money is not there. The job security is not there. Today it's obviously much better than it ever was. There's no doubt about that. But it's still not all fun. And they're always trying to get rid of the Rebbeim because they're not young and dynamic. And they want them to retire when they're already 50. And they should figure out what they should do with the rest of their lives. So it's not a pleasant thing. It's definitely not a pleasant thing to see. These people who do this work, they're very idealistic. They do l'shem shemayim, and I mean, they make people. My fondest memories in life are my melamdim. I mean, who do I owe everything I have, whatever I have? The people that taught me, my yeshiva katan rebbeim, not my Russian yeshivas, Okay, every person will tell you the same. This is pashut. Okay, this is pashut. I didn't even mention Rosh Hashivas in this category. I didn't mention them. Okay, the Gemara doesn't even talk. The Gemara doesn't give. The Gemara talks about people that are isik in tzarchei tzibur. The people that made you, molded and shaped you, are the people that raised you from your parents, and people that raised you in elementary school and high school. After high school, it's not very serious. It's not, and especially not today. Not today. Definitely not. So, and it's not glamorous. There's no glamour in high school rebbeim. There's no glamour. Okay? And the truth is, and these are the real kohanim. So we look at them, we say to ourselves, the nechama is they will get olam haba. That's what we look at them. They'll get olam haba. What am I going to get? Who knows? But they're the real deal. They were meiser nefesh. They have doyrois in their pocket. They made people. They mashpia on people. Good ones. And unfortunately, nothing always works out. But okay, we appreciate that. No, but what about parnasa? What about this prestige? This that? Baruch Hashem, today it's much much better than it ever was. Correct? It's much better, but it's not glamorous. You're not going to convince me that a Rebbe who works very very hard has a glamorous job. You're not going to tell me, when he comes into shul, he's not getting mafta yoyin. They're giving mafta yoyin to the tycoon who, has a startup and is making hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay, the person who can build big mansions and has summer homes and doesn't know where to go next. He's the one who's the all the glory and the glam. And by the way, those people are also, tell me they're chachamim, right? You know, with money comes everything. Once he has the money, they're tell me they're chachamim, they write svarim. I don't have to elaborate, you know the whole story. This pasuk is a very frightening pasuk. The pasuk says, what did I just say? Hosir hamatz nefes v'horim ho'atara. When there's no matz nefes, it's not just the kina chavatzelis hasharoni nebuch, the kohanim, they're out of a job. But I'm okay. I have a cow. I have a donkey. My cow produces milk. My donkey, I'm a car service driver. So I can take my car and I can take my cow and I can go to America and I can sell milk. And I can be a car service driver. So I'm okay. The koyein, nu, never. It says here, when the mitznefes is lacking, you have nothing. The mitznefes is the institution of kahuna. The mitznefes is the hat in charge. Okay, the hat of the kohen gadol, yoshev roish. When he's not wearing a hat, means chavatzelas hasharon, the kina of chavatzelas hasharon. The kahuna no longer is functional. If he doesn't have a job, if he doesn't have prestige, if he is not glorified, then guess what? Harim ho'atara, you got nothing. Your crown, your chashivas in life is also worth nothing. When you recite the kina of chavatzelas hasharon, you're really mourning over yourself. You're not mourning over them. Because the pasuk makes it clear as day that it's toluy ze bozeh. The crown of man is at his peak when he gets married. When a man gets married, the ateres achasanim, wow, you know, shlemos, I got a wife, I got a bias, I'm established, I'm going to have children, I'm going to have a presence in this world. And it's going to be choshev, it's my crown. You got nothing. Don't go look at this kina. Well, I always look at the kina, and I, after reading the commentary, is nu nebuchadnezzar. It's a good thing I didn't go into chinuch. Right? They lost out. Excuse me. If they got nothing, you have less than nothing. That's what it says. When the Atara is not there, the crown is not there, is a very powerful Musa Haskel. It's not just a Zeichel Churban. It's a Zeichel Churban, that's right. But there's a practical Limud HaMusa in this Zeicher L'Churban.
The Nezer HaKodesh was not as a Kiram for Kohen Gadol.
Better than me ask a question, you say Kaddish.
Don't say.